So last Sunday, on Fifth Sunday, when we had so many people that got up and talked, I really appreciated what everybody said and really enjoyed the service. And I got up and made a few comments at the end. And I started with, as I told you, one of my favorite verses. Not my favorite, but one of my favorite. And it's Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I commented that the first times that I read that, I didn't really get the second part of that. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I made the comment that it goes with vision, because the law does give us a overarching vision of Jesus Christ and his coming. And there are many, many, many ways that the law does that. And it's my intent today to, I guess I would call my subject a vision from the law. Not the only vision, just one example is what I would like to speak to, and I think it's a significant one. And given the fact that next Sunday is so-called Palm Sunday, of course that's not a term that's in the Bible, but that's what the popular, the world calls the beginning of the Holy Week, and they call it Palm Sunday. And of course, it's followed by so-called Good Friday, which ought to be called Good Wednesday, because Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday in order to have been in the tomb 3 days and three nights. But that's a whole nother subject, and I'm not intending to get into that. But if you the story of Palm Sunday, if you will, really starts in, or is in all three of the Gospels. And this is when Jesus comes into Jerusalem to participate in Passover, the Lord's Last Supper, as we know it, before his crucifixion. And so if you go, it's in Matthew chapter 21, it's in Mark chapter 11, it's in Luke chapter 19, and it's in John chapter 12. And each one of them have some slight differences, which just means that you're getting more information when you read all versions of them. And I wanted to start by reading the version in Matthew chapter 21, and there's 11 verses, starting with verse 1, chapter 21, Matthew. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So Jesus has instructed his disciples to go fetch an ass, which is a donkey, all right? But I'm going to use the term, even though it's that's in the Bible, and it's here because that's how they were referred to back in the day. And that's what the Bible says, and that's the word I'm going to use to describe this. But to get an ass and her colt, all right? And all this was done, verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. Those are the so-called palms. The only place that palm is mentioned in the description is in the book of John, chapter 12. And he shares with us that there were many palms, and the implication of them being strawed together, this is an indication of it here in Matthew. Verse 9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now we can read on, and I want to make a few comments around the Matthew version of this. You notice in verse 4, it says all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And what that is referring to is verse in both Isaiah chapter 62, but I want to go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And this is the prophecy about 500 years before the event occurred that's described in Matthew. And verse 9 simply says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Daughter of Zion is really referring to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh, and we know that king is Jesus Christ, unto thee he is just and having salvation, lowly, in riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, if you think about a king, you generally think of a king like in ancient times, and some of this comes from watching movies. I think there was a movie Cindy and I watched recently. I don't think it was Gladiator, but it was another one that was in those times. And the king or the leader rode a white horse. And a white horse is generally what you expect a king to ride on, not a lowly foal of an ass, a colt. All right, so why all the hubbub? Why is this in here? Well, first of all, it's in the Bible, and therefore it means something. It's meaningful. All right? It's meaningful, that so meaningful that the prophet told us about it 500 years before the event occurred. So then the question is, what is it about this wild ass, this colt, that is significant? So if you go back into the book of Exodus, and you go to Exodus chapter 13, and I'm going to start about verse 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Now this is part of the law that God delivered to Moses. And it's throughout parts of Exodus. It's in Leviticus. It's in Numbers. And it's repeated, much of it, in the book of Deuteronomy. All right? And we're not going to try to hit all of it. We're just going to pick up these comments here. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, The matrix is the womb. And every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. So the firstborn is what he's referring to here. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of the hand of the Lord, brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when the Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. And we know that is one of the plagues. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but are all the firstborn my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlet between thine eyes, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So this is a law that God provided through Moses to the Jewish people, that for every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem him with a lamb. Same as with a man. Now there were other firstlings, goats, sheep, that were sacrificed, but not the ass. So this is a very significant description. You can go into Exodus chapter 34, which we're not going to do, and read through that, starting in verse 17, and it expounds on this further. So clearly, there's something unique about this this particular animal. And I will say that if you want some description of that, we can go into the book of Job, chapter 11, verse 12. For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. So it's drawn a parallel here that a wild ass is similar to a man, or a man's like a wild ass. And what is this referring to? Previous first Sunday, I spoke about sovereignty of God, depravity of man, and needing to understand that as part of really understanding election. And what we're learning here is more descriptions of the depravity of man as represented by this wild ass. Now, also in Job 39, verse 5, and we'll flip over there, close. For the context here, the 39th chapter of Job is in the previous chapter, 38, is when God addresses Job after Job keeps throughout the rest of the book, and much of it asking, you know, essentially asking why. Why am I going through these trials and tribulations? The Lord comes back and says, Job, where were you when I created the earth? And there's, you know, it's one of my favorite chapters in the book when the Lord says that. And he continues to communicate to Job in chapter 39. And in verse 5, he said, who has sent, talking about himself, who, this is part of him telling Job what he's done, who has sent out the wild ass free, or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass. So God's saying that, you know, I allowed these animals to be free, and I loosed them, meaning they had the freedom to do what they want. And again, this is in the context of describing the depravity of man. Deuteronomy 32:10 talks about Jacob, who is, we know Jacob at the very end of Genesis, I think it was chapter 49, has the dream and about all of his sons and their future as being the Jewish people and the various 12 tribes of the Jewish people. But when Jacob was much younger, Deuteronomy says Jacob was found in the wild. He was in the wilderness, all right, in a similar kind of recognition that he wasn't following the Lord. He was a descendant of Abraham, obviously, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord found him in the wilderness, in the desert, all right, where you might find a wild ass. So we can go on and talk more about the depravity of man in the New Testament, and we can go to Romans and chapter 3, and I just want to read a little bit of this, starting in verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is the Apostle Paul preaching to Jewish people, explaining that both Jews and Gentiles are sinners. They're all under sin. They're all captured. They're all dead in sin. If I go on, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. I'm going to go on down to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So there's a whole lot to unpack here, and fundamentally, he's talking about man being dead in sin, and the law is not the solution to that problem. The law, what it says here, is the knowledge of sin. By having the law, we know clearly that we're sinning. I know in the popular political world, sometimes I can't think of an perfect example here, but often certain political parties will just make something legal, and then they'll track the statistics about how that particular thing is, you know, there's not so many people breaking that law. Well, that's because they're either not enforcing it and not collecting the information. That's an exact, you know, without the law, you don't really fully understand the sin, or it's not recognized, I should say. So the law, when you go look in the details of the law, you see you see it pointing to Jesus Christ. Many of the things that the Jews had to do were specific things like not, like sacrificing a lamb for the ass, which it represents man in his sinful state. And the lamb is a sacrifice that represents Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And so it's a vision. It's looking to and pointing to Christ. And there are many, all the sacrifice and feast and various things do exactly that. So let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of an ass. I pulled this off the internet. I'm going to read something off the internet. I liken the difference between horses and donkeys to the difference between dogs and cats. Donkey being the ass, right? Horses are more like dogs and want to please their alpha owner. Donkeys, on the other hand, aren't true herd animals and would rather please themselves. While both horses and donkeys are naturally curious, donkeys are generally more reserved with a higher sense of self-preservation. When introduced to something new, their default response is, "What's in it for me?" Sounds just like human beings, doesn't it? That's where the food comes in. If people train donkeys without treats, I don't know how they do it. The quickest way to motivate them is to earn their trust with food. Bottom line is, there's very many similarities when you look at the behavior of an ass to the behavior of men. And we see that in our daily lives. But there's such good news for us because of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk a little bit about the good news and go to Ephesians and read a little bit out of chapter 2. And I know that that people here know these things already, but repetition is a good thing. It's a good thing for learning and remembering. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience." So a little bit more on the depravity of man here. "Among whom also we all had conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," which is a great mystery that he would love us, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And then some of our favorite verses here, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So this is all what Jesus Christ did for us, and of course, that's the good news. Now, back to the story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of an ass. This is a colt. This is a unbroken ass. All right. We all know that if a horse is a wild horse, we've seen this many times, and the same thing applies to the foal of an ass that's never been ridden. They have to be ridden to be broken. And it can be a difficult process. And we know about cowboys breaking horses, and we've seen it on TV. And some of us may have had specific experience in this particular area. This colt had never been ridden. And that's what the story tells us if you look in Matthew 21. You look in Mark 11, Luke 19. John 12. This ass had never been ridden. It was a wild, unridden ass. When Jesus told them to go get it, he was specific that it was not to be ridden. They were going to get it and bring it to him. So then they put some clothing on the ass, and they put Jesus on the ass, and the ass was completely broken. All right? Jesus got on him, and the ass was under control. broken. The ass represents man in his depravity. And when Jesus gets on our back, when he comes into us, he breaks us from this same fate and behavior. And that's what this wild ass is representing. So if you go to John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, the story of John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan River, and Jesus comes up, and John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's his recognition. Behold the Lamb of God. A lamb died so that that ass that Jesus rode was not sacrificed. A lamb was sacrificed according to the law that I read back in Exodus. So a lamb died so that that ass could live, that Jesus broke. In the same way that a lamb had to die, or we would have died, and that lamb is Jesus Christ. That's what this story, that's at least a part of what this story is telling us with this example of the wild ass, and why those words are in this book. And why it was prophesied, because it is a vision looking straight at what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's only one of hundreds, if not thousands, of items from the law that provide that vision to us. And of course, we get to understand it where the Jewish people had trouble understanding it. Because we have the book in the New Testament and all that we've learned from that. I hope this has been of some value for everybody today. Thank you.